So yeah, this morning, a couple of microphones in the car and drove in to meet Brenda Fricker. And she's great company, and we spent about an hour with her, and we're going to play out the interview now. And she's a woman who makes me laugh, and that's the way it started, with a laugh.
He's exhausted after getting the puzzle right. We should celebrate.
Like a little boy setting up a little disco
like
setup.
That's exactly what you look like at the moment, a little grin on your face.
Thanks so much, Brenda, for having us into your house, because it's you did say the last time we were here and we had to be outside your house that someday you'd invite us in.
Well, it was a lovely day.
It was a beautiful day, as is today.
Well, it was your idea, and we went out, and it was lovely. It was really lovely, yeah.
And it was very pleasant.
It was warm. It was June.
Yeah.
That's cold out there today. No.
It is. We wouldn't be sitting out there today. You get cold very quickly. So we're here to celebrate with you, because for the second time in your career, stroke life, you've been featured on a stamp.
It's mad.
Yeah. So
it's kind of mad, you know.
There you go. There's a lovely framed. So it's you and Daniel Day-Lewis at the 1990 Oscars. Him with his Best Actor Oscar, and you with your Best Supporting Actress Oscar.
One, yes.
And there's
Neil
Jordan.
That is a nice photo.
Isn't it a lovely photo? It is a lovely
horrible
photograph.
Horrible ones from that night, but that's a nice one.
Yeah, you're staring.
Who are the other people?
Lovingly into each other's eyes. Well, there's Neil Jordan there. And then there is Martin McDonagh.
Writer
and director. And then Glenn Hansard and Markita Erdlova, they won for the song from Once. So they're all Ireland's Oscar winners together.
And that other film, Cova, is that what it's called?
Coda. Oh, what a lovely film. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it, no.
Yeah.
And the Colleen Kuhn and those ones. I mean, there's
some great
stuff.
There's really some really good stuff around at the moment, yeah. Yeah.
You go back to 1989, there was no Ardmore Studios, basically. Like, it's amazing.
You were groundbreakers.
Well, you had to kind of brush the dust off stage A when we were going in,
But I was just reading there today Donald Clark in the Irish Times, and he does a sort of a look back at Ireland's
Who's that man
Oscar
who
wins.
Claims to have designed the Oscar?
Yes, Cedric
and he won
Gibbons.
11 or
Cedric
that's
Gibbons.
Him. Yeah.
He was called Gibby.
He sounds great, doesn't he?
Yeah. There's a lovely story actually about him, because he left here as a young lad, went over there, started working in the movie industry, worked for MGM, married an actress called Dolores Del Rio.
Oh, I heard that.
Have you heard her name? Yeah.
Very glamorous lady.
Yes. And then she befriended this Mexican guy, because she was of Mexican extraction, called Emilio Fernandez. And Cedric asked Emilio, would he pose? And he is the body of the Oscar. So you have Emilio.
Is that true, though? There's so many stories. Like, you know, that's the truth.
You have Emilio somewhere in this house.
Well, Mexican extraction is fine by me.
Where is it now, seeing as it is Oscar weekend?
It's holding the door.
You don't bring it out to play at all?
No, it's too ostentatious to be having it. You know,
the odd time.
Yeah, I have a friend who does a bit of handiwork for me, and he made a little sort of mini dais thing out there, and he put it up, and I was mortified. Every time I went down to go to the loo, I was kind of going, oh God.
Confronted by your past, is that
it? Yeah, but it's only a prize, like, you know, we're showing off about it.
Yeah. Well, you are the only, there was a guy back in 1945, Barry Fitzgerald.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So he won
Marvelous actor.
He won Best Supporting Actor.
Did he?
Back then, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was nominated for both Best Actor and Best Supporting Actor for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, he was wonderful. Yeah. He was one of our best.
But Donald Clark was saying that you and Daniel Day-Lewis winning the Oscar in 1990 heralded in a new era for creativity in Ireland. That it was the beginning of something.
It was. I agree with that. Well, it was Jim Sheridan and Noel Pearson. And Shane Connaughton, it was those three. Mainly Noel Pearson.
Hmm.
I think he mortgaged his house like twice or something. He really, really went for it.
To make My Left Foot.
And we were constantly, we'd film for maybe two, I was in London, and we'd film for maybe 2 days, and there was no money, it's off, it's gone. And I'd be flying back with Daniel, and he'd say, I'm seeing you Monday morning. He wouldn't give up. And we just did it that way. It was extraordinary.
Yeah.
It really was, but Jim is so good.
And there was none of the buzz around the Oscars that we get today. Like, there's, it's a week of a build-up, months of build-up. You get the shortlist, the nominations, and then the week leading up to it, everyone's talked about Ciarán Hinds and Jessie Buckley.
Absolutely. And but you see, what's his name? Oh, gosh, my memory's gone.
I'm your name person. Describe him.
I don't know if it's even a man. Secondary. Go back a minute. What were you saying? This is old age.
I was saying there was no build-up back in 1990 to the Oscars.
Oh, yes. I wanted to say that Josie McAvin was the first woman to win an Oscar. But it was for Out of Africa.
Right.
With Meryl Streep and Charles Dance. And it was an American film. So nobody talked about it. Like, it wasn't in the papers and... I met her and I didn't know. I think I'd worked with her even and I didn't know.
But I suppose it was a technical award. It was a technical award.
It was for design.
Yeah, yeah.
But she came with us out to the ceremony when we were going. Yeah, lovely woman, elegant and gorgeous, yeah.
And you looked, and I know you've spoken about this so many times, but it is the weekend that's in it. Yeah, you'll forgive me if we talk a little bit more about it. But you looked genuinely, to use a Mary McCallan word, you looked genuinely surprised that night because...
I nearly fainted.
Yeah.
I've told this story before that when we were doing all the publicity, and you have to do a lot of publicity before, and you're doing like 15 interviews like this a day, it's exhausting. And we were all told to push Daniel because he was the one of you in with a chance. So my name was never mentioned. Like, and I didn't mind at all. We were pushing for Daniel. So that I didn't... It never crossed my mind that my name would come out. You know, there was Angelica Houston, there was Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, talk about an outsider. So that I did get an awful shock, yeah.
Well, you were very composed then when you got up to give your acceptance speech.
I think I was a bit pissed because I had drinks before. And I would never have had a drink if I knew I was going to be called up there, I can tell you. Or had a chance even. I was sneaking out having large double Marys in the break.
How are you? Because I was talking to you recently and you're up and down. How are you today now, for example?
I get good pain days and bad pain days. I had an accident with my back and the corner of a table fell from a height and hit the base of my spine and damaged some nerves. And you can go for 6 months and it's don't feel it. And then you just move the wrong way. And I did this morning.
Oh, right, OK.
And that's horrible. And it's just broken bones with me. It's pain.
Yeah.
I'm very healthy.
Of course, like that's because I reminded myself about so at a young age you were knocked off a bicycle. So you were nearly every bone in your body broken?
2 years in hospital. Yeah.
So that sort of comes back to haunt you.
Somebody said to me recently that with all the years in hospital and no schooling and no education and all these things went on, and she said with kind of pity in her voice, she said you did enter the adult world ill-equipped. And it was a very good way of saying it, because any problems I have with society or with socialising or any of that that I didn't learn growing up meant I was ill-equipped.
How? Go on. I'm fascinated.
No, I just loved it.
I wouldn't see you as being ill-equipped. I didn't meet you when you were 18, 19, 20.
You might have said
And how did that lack of being equipped, how did it manifest itself? How did you behave?
Yeah, great time, yeah. I had a great life, Ray.
And you're going to write about it?
You won't talk about that.
We won't talk about that. Because you're a very bright woman and you're a great writer. You have a turn of phrase and you have a way of using the English language. And I'm not the first person who said that to you, I would imagine.
No, but it just astonishes me. I mean, it astonishes me that I wrote a précis, I suppose you'd call it, and a friend of mine sent it into a literary agent, and she said it had to go to about 9 or 10 maybe before they'll take you. And the first one took it. And they're marvellous. And they flew over from London the other day. They frightened the life out of me and sat around the kitchen table. It was very intense. And just very gently squeezing it. Did you write a bit quicker?
All right. There's a deadline, is there?
Because seemingly there's a publisher interested, which again is unusual. So you kind of don't believe any of it. You know, I will do a bit of writing. I know I'm quite good and I'm doing an hour a day. But you kind of think, why am I doing this? I can't do this.
But you have been writing, haven't you?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, like, and is that part of sort of therapy? Is it something you do to...
Well, it is interesting. And all the things you hear about people when they write books is true. And all sorts of memories that I were well, well buried are coming up. The one I'm doing at the moment now, my sister, Gráinne, the relationship I had with her, I'd kind of forgotten about when we were young, you know, down in Kerry together, and how wonderful she was. She was nearly 5 years older than me, and a rebel and a leader and my protector, you know. And I can remember we were in the church in Kerry, and we were coming down, it was empty, and we were coming up the aisle to go out. And she held my hand, and she wasn't a physical person like that. And I can remember the feeling of safety and the skin and the warmth, you know. So all that kind of thing.
Coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she was a writer. She wrote.
She was a much better writer than I am.
Right.
Truly she was. Yeah. I know she was. Genuinely.
Right. But she told you were a great writer, so...
We're all telling each other great writer.
All slapping each other on the back.
Exactly, yeah.
So that's exciting, isn't it? Do you think it's exciting?
I find it a bit terrifying.
Why?
Because I've never done it before. Mm. You know, I have a wonderful young lady called Deirdre Nuttall who's helping me. And, like, she knows the structure of a book, like chapters and grammar and full stops and spelling, that kind of thing, you know. So she does all that. But I don't know. Like, if you wanted to do a bit of acting, say, on a film, I could bring you in and I could show you the basic structure of how it works and what you'd have to do, but you'd have to do the acting. Mm. So I'm in that kind of a position that I don't know how it's made, and I'm...
Yeah, and I remember seeing you tell somebody that you didn't think you could learn how to act. Is that the same with writing?
Did I say that?
You did.
That's interesting. that's quite good comment. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm not equipped to answer any questions about writing, really. Except there are days when it's, as they say, I promised the people I'd do an hour a day. And I'm doing that. I've kept my word. But then when something's coming, you look up and 3 hours have gone by. And that's really enjoyable. Yeah. And that's when the writing is good. Do you know, it's not being pushed.
So you're in the zone.
In the zone.
In the zone.
It's a great phrase.
It's flowing.
In the zone.
Yeah.
That's from a sport. That's a sports phrase, isn't it?
It is, yeah. But it's and like you described acting as being in, you didn't say the word zone, but your words described being in the zone, if you know what I mean.
I've never used that about acting.
No, you said you described it as coming off a diving board. And when your feet leave it, and before
you're in between, that's the enjoyable bit.
Yes, yeah, but that's a zone there, isn't it?
I just don't like the word zone.
Yeah.
It's a place, you know, it's a kind of a happening in a way. zone just seems like sportsmen getting all with their head down and running fast.
Well, psychologists and all, they've taken it on now as well. It's sort of like
I still don't like it, Brenda.
Yeah, I know. Great. I won't use it again in your company, Brenda. And I'm just trying to explain how the meaning
is. I know what it means. I'm a writer. I know what the word means.
We're talking to Brenda Fricker. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll sort ourselves out and we'll talk to you after this.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, welcome back to the Brenda Fricker special. Because you are. Juno's here. Great to see Juno.
Juno, the dog, yes.
So
she got a part in the last film I did.
Oh, did she? Yeah.
Genuinely. She's going to get a credit. She had a contract and she got paid. So I said to the agent, I said, if she gets paid more than I'm getting paid, I'm off to Dublin, leave you here. So yeah, she was brilliant. I never trained her to do any of that.
And what, just be yourself, I suppose?
No, right, just stopping and starting and called out from behind a bush and going, little things like that. And it looks beautiful.
Yeah.
It does, yeah. Tyke O'Sullivan, the young director who directed that, is so easy. He flows easy, and he's terrific. He's one of the best I've worked with. And he'll ease something in like that that's not planned, you know. And I was just walking along the beach with the dog, and he just said, keep the dog, because I was going to say, you know, piss out. And we kept walking, and I had to walk to the sea, the edge of the sea, and I had high Wellingtons on, and I had to go in as deep as the Wellingtons were. And it was freezing. Like, it was Christmas and winter.
Where are we? Somewhere on the west coast?
On Ballyvaughan.
Right.
Beautiful, beautiful place. So she had to come in beside me. And she looked at the little short legs of her. The water was up to her belly, like. And she was turning to go. And there was no microphones. So I was able to whisper, stay, stay. And for 5 minutes, she just stood there. I mean, she was so good, like.
She loves you. Don't you, Juno?
No, I just don't.
Look at that. That's it.
Don't, never fool a dog. Here.
There you go. Oh, I see. Yes, treat. There you go, Juno.
Yeah.
That's so you, when will we see trainer. That? When will we see that? Is it a feature length or?
No, it's wonderful. I don't know if you saw a film Up to the Sun, Up to the Moon. Beg your pardon. Sorry.
I watched a bit of it.
That's his film.
Yeah.
So he's a documentary maker. But I don't know how long he would take to edit that, because I don't know about documentaries. But I suppose it'll be out sometime.
Some stage. What is out at the moment, and episode 3 is on Monday for people.
Oh, God, episode 3.
Right, holding, yeah.
Because that's the episode where I have the 6-page speech.
Oh, dear.
Nightmare time.
So for people who haven't seen it, Brenda plays the part of Mrs. Meany. Deneen is the name of the town, and you're the housekeeper for the Sergeant Collins.
Yeah, yes.
Which I didn't know that was a thing.
After him.
Yeah.
That's like the old-fashioned priest.
Yes, and you're in the thick of it.
Yes. Well, I'm a mysterious kind of woman. Nobody knows anything about her background. She was a blow-in, and, you know, she cleaned people's houses and whatever, and she ended up with Conleth.
Hill, who plays Sergeant Collins.
Oh, yeah. He's great.
Yeah.
He's great. But the thing about Conleth, he's the wittiest man I've ever met anywhere in the world. And you'd be trying to do a bit of acting and you walk past you and he'd say something and you just crease up, you know. But he's a lovely actor. And it's all on his shoulders.
Yeah.
God love him, you know. So, but I haven't seen it, so I hope it goes well.
On Monday night, anyway, you have a big 6-page speech.
Yeah. Which was a lot of rewriting on. Yeah, that's the reason I did the part, actually.
For that, yeah.
Just to see, could that 77, could I learn 6 pages?
And how did you go about doing that?
I put my head down in the kitchen and didn't go out for a month.
Did you? Right. Yeah. It took you a month.
It took me about a month, yeah. It's very hard. It's longer than any speech in Shakespeare. Like, it's very, and it's a story. Now, we did have to change it quite a bit in the middle, and I can't tell you what it is because it's the answer to the whole mystery.
Yeah, well, don't, spoiler alert, don't, yeah.
And we had to expand on that. It's just, I found it hard, but then once I knew it, I was grand, you know, I wasn't forgetting it and wasn't drying or anything like that.
And would you be walking around the house here sort of saying it to yourself? Is that the way it goes?
Yeah, and have a little tape recorder that you can help yourself with.
Right, and do you record yourself and play yourself back?
Yeah.
That's a good idea, isn't it?
That's a great idea, yeah.
Yeah, because you're getting it both ways. You're reading it and you're hearing it.
And you can do it really fast and you can do it really slow.
Yes.
It can make noises to interrupt you when you can do all kinds of things with a little tape recorder. It's only about that size.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's a good actor's tool.
There was a guy in RTE who remained nameless who used to, when he was doing his pieces to camera, if he was doing reports, he used to record them, put the little dictaphone in his pocket, have a headphone going, and talk along with himself. So he never had to learn them. He developed this skill.
Wow.
Yeah, which worked really well for him until it was one of those big...
What about a breakdown?
Remember one of those big kidnaps, and he had to do it live. So he was completely effed then.
He couldn't know what to do.
Didn't know what to do. He was stumbling and stammering and all that sort of thing. Yeah. But that's Monday night, and it will be on Virgin Media One eventually. They haven't told us exactly when. Did you enjoy?
I don't know. Is the show like? Is it a good show?
Well, I'm enjoying it.
Really.
I'm enjoying it.
I'm interested in watching
it's,
myself.
It's Ballycus Angel with a murder.
Or, well, that's great.
Yeah, yeah,
great.
And it's showing off you and
well, it's kind
Pauline
of meant
MacLean
to be just to show you sit down and at the end of a long day and enjoy.
That's exactly what it is.
No big challenge.
It's like a bit of a hug with a murderer.
That's lovely.
I'd say you love your space. This is a lovely, lovely house. I was saying to you before we went on, you know, started recording, that you should enter it for Home of the Year.
No, I think it's only when you come in that you get a surprise.
Yes.
That in such a tightly built little cottages around the area, you don't expect this much space. Like when tall people come in, it's lovely. They kind of stretch their arms and go like that. No, I love my little house, I must say. Pure fluke that they came up.
Yes, at the time, and you had the money from my left foot.
Pure fluke, yeah. They went for no money. Although I spent a fortune doing them up.
Mm.
But pure fluke that they won. I wonder if a fourth one will come up. But Lone Street. The Beatles had that in the film, didn't they?
Fricker Square.
Fricker Square.
Has a nice ring to it. As it is, it's. I won't say who it's named after because people giving away your address. No connection whatsoever. Yeah, but it's lovely here. And we're in your... This is your bedroom.
The playroom, I call it.
Right, okay.
All the action. My bedroom used to be the second house because you have to change everything when you get another space.
Yeah.
So that used to be the bedroom. Lovely sitting room, lovely little fireplace. It was all set up there. And then this came up. So I just knocked all the walls down. And then I thought, well, that's a nice light room. So I moved the bed in here.
It's lovely, lovely and spacious and all the things they say, you know, lovely natural light and lovely space and all that sort of thing. Christopher Hitchens. Aha, spotted that out of the corner of my eye. There you go.
Oh, yeah, I love him.
Yeah.
I love him. Death.
Yes, he writes a lot about death.
Yeah, yeah.
He died of cancer, didn't he?
I dip it, yeah. And sometimes I saw an interview with him when he was very, very, very ill. And he was still lucid and brilliant in his talking, you know.
Mm.
I have a real crush on that man for years and years and years.
He's dead now.
I know that, but I mean, a crush on his work, maybe.
Yeah.
But that's a kind of dip into book.
Yeah. And is that on death and other things?
It's on a load of other things. Like, it's like essays, if you like, different subjects.
Yeah.
But I love, like, you get in such good form when you read good writing. Don't say back to writing, Brenda, don't mention the word. He's just a very good... craftsman.
Yes, yeah. And is that part of your fear of your own writing? You know, because you recognise brilliant writing. And is it a fear
of... I don't think I'm afraid of my own writing.
No, but...
I think I'm just very... I get very surprised, Ray, when people say to me that you're good at something. Because I'm not saying that I'm going around saying I'm rubbish or anything like that, but I kind of live in a little world of my own. And somebody says to me, you're very good at acting. And you go, what? Am I? Oh, thanks very much. So no, I'm not. No, that wouldn't influence me apart from the pleasure of reading it.
Yeah, and I know you know we talked about it before. Your mother would have told you that you weren't good at anything. But I think you've probably reached a stage of your life, have you, that you realise that you know you are good at acting and that you're loved, and that's the thing. And I suppose back.
No,
to
I do know that people are fond of me.
Yes, I get that in the street.
It's lovely.
And how does that make you feel?
Well, when the 25th person comes up to you in the street and says, "Are you Brenda Ricker?" I kind of say, "On Tuesdays and Thursdays now." But it used to annoy me, but I like it now. It's so easy to give people a bit of pleasure, you know.
But
talking about this stamp.
Yes.
And mentioning my mother there. Oh, I wish she was alive for this. She would have been so proud and delighted with this, you know. And my father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she never saw any of your success?
No, she died when she was 58.
Yeah.
My father didn't bother coming to the Oscars with me. My sister didn't come. Nobody came with me. Oh, a good friend of mine turned around. She kind of felt sorry for me and she turned around and she came with me. And she was wonderful.
And why didn't they go? Why didn't they go?
I don't know. My father said years later he had angina and he was terrified that he'd have a heart attack.
Uh-huh.
He could have said that to me, you know, because it was a little bit lonely because it's a huge family thing, you know. If you watch them now, you see them. Families everywhere hugging and kissing them. So I did kind of miss it a bit. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
So Jessie Buckley then. this weekend.
My Jesse.
So you're what's the relationship?
Well, I championed Jesse when I saw her first, and I think I told you I've done something I've never done before and probably will never do again. I phoned Ryan Tubridy, who has the best black book in Ireland, and said, have you got a number for Jesse Buckley? And he said, I have. And I said, phone her up and ask her, can I phone her? So she did. She said, phone me, and I did. And we have this lovely relationship now. We've never met, and I've decided that we're never going to meet, because it's just like this 80-year-old sharing crossroads relationship. She's a lovely writer, and I think I mentioned to you before, she can actually write in a Kerry accent.
Right.
You couldn't, you can't, if you read it out loud, it's Kerry. You can't do anything else, you know. And she's lovely. She's a lovely, lovely, lovely young girl. And she is bursting with talent. And if she doesn't win this year, she'll be there again. She'll be there again.
Well, we wish her good luck.
Oh, yes.
And her parents.
It's a very heavy field she's in.
Yes, yes, it's a tough one.
But it wouldn't matter if she doesn't win this year. In fact, in a way, I think it's better if she doesn't win.
Yeah, because you told me before that it changes things.
Yeah.
And probably not always in a good way.
Not always in a good way at all. But if you, once you're nominated, you're in the door of the club, so to speak. Therefore, if you are nominated and you don't win, all the young directors who want to do something will come running, chasing you down the street because they think you're going to win next year, you know. But if you win, nobody talks to you.
You haven't changed, but their attitude to you has changed. That's the thing, yeah.
I don't know what happens to people. It's weird, isn't it?
Have you got the other, have you got the previous stamp anywhere?
I got it out for you. It's out on the kitchen table.
Oh, is it? Really? Is it brilliant? Because
it's a green leather fold.
Oh, is it? That I'd love to see that. Because I looked it up on Google and there was no image of it.
It's a picture, frame from the film.
Yeah.
Where I'm in the church and I'm lighting candles. And little Hugh O'Connor, who was so brilliant in that. And it was turned into the most charming man. And it was written a film script that we're all going to try and get it done for him. But you couldn't, it was darker.
Ah, yes,
you see
yes,
how it's
yes.
a bit darker?
That, yeah, is that it there? That's you there? Is it? Yes, it is, it is. Yes, it's very small. And there, that's...
And he's in the old box that I...
He's playing the young Christy Brown there. A 32p stamp.
There should have been two Oscars.
Go on.
He has as much film time.
Oh, yes, in it as Daniel.
And they have done it before. They did it with Tatum O'Neill. And they did it 100 years ago with somebody else. So they
split the Oscar.
They really should have.
And can I see it just before we go? I know that's ridiculous, isn't it? I know, it's such a child.
Well, you know where it is.
Right, well, is it this way?
No, it's the other
one. The other one, okay. Right.
Okay.
You, if you can find it there. Such a child. That's ridiculous, isn't it?
I know, yeah.
Yeah. So what's the plan now for you? Do you watch the Oscars?
Ah, yes, I would,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah,
because
you're nocturnal.
I've been invited over this year.
Oh, have
if
you?
I was in better health, I'd go.
Oh.
But I wouldn't be up to it now.
Who invited you, can I ask?
The
Academy.
The Academy,
oh,
yeah.
Right. Oh, look
For
at
some
this.
Reason, they like me.
Oh.
The weight of it always surprises you, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's £8.
Is it? It's somebody weighed it. Wow.
£8.
Yeah.
And 24 characters.
It's
heavy,
all right.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's why people...
That's why it's a good door stopper.
And that's why people tend to... They move their hand because
But I've always said to you, the people who can do that, I can't do it because of my shoulder. But they hold it right up in the air.
Yeah, that's.
But you can see their arm kind of going, unless they're big, strong men.
Sort of wilting.
Exactly.
Back.
And if you want very carefully when they pick it up the first time, it's just a little micro movement down. You know,
oh yeah, because they're surprised.
Yes,
yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Unless of course
exactly,
you're like Daniel Day Lewis, then you're on your third one.
Fourth one.
Here you go, Emilio. It's me and you again. Yeah. Brenda, great to see you.
And it's lovely to see you.
Yeah,
it always is.
And it's great that you're on another stamp. You're going to go for three, maybe like Daniel with his Oscars. And talk soon. And I brought some corny bread for you. It's a little bit overdone.
You're so nice.
Yeah, it's out in the car. I'll bring
and
it in.
You brought little presents last time as well.
Yeah, sure. Look, you're having us into your home, so thanks very much.
Right. You have to pay me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brenda Fricker. Thank you, Brenda. Yay!
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.